Love the name. We'll talk some Eli Drinkwitz. Obviously, I love college football a ton. Good hire from Missouri. You know, I think so. Let's give this guy a chance. You know, I was talking to a high school football coach, Missouri Hall of Fame. He just said quite simply, this was last week. He goes, man, they need that Appalachian State coach. I like that guy. And this guy wasn't wild about Barry Odom because his son was recruited. Had some good stories. Wasn't wild about him, but he likes the Appalachian State coach, Drinkwitz. Certainly, you and I were talking about before the game once Arrowhead Pride tweeted out those player snap counts. By the way, you can always check that out. Pro Football Reference, by the way, shows snap counts for different games. If you're wondering what a guy's snap count was in a certain game, just go to Pro Football Reference. It's right there if you want to see these numbers on snap counts. They do a great job putting that out there for information for you. And also you can dive into what a player does against certain teams. But it's a great reference point, and I find it beneficial, to be honest with you, at different times. But the main running back in this game, Serta, was Spencer Ware. And here's a guy that came off the street, a guy that knows the offense, guys that knows the system. I was a little bit surprised. I shouldn't have been as surprised when Damien Williams isn't going to play. But Spencer Ware ended up getting the bulk, 40% of the snaps he was in for the Kansas City Chiefs. LeSean McCoy, 31% of the snaps. Darwin Thompson, 26% of the snaps. So that's, to be honest with you, a pretty good indicator what Andy Reid's feeling is, that circle of trust. Spencer Ware's back in it. And I think he's back in it. Darrell Williams was in it. I think Spencer Ware certainly is. They trusted Spencer Ware in certain crucial situations. Spencer Ware, very good out of the backfield. Darwin Thompson, to me, he maximized his effort. Darwin Thompson is tough to bring down. Dude's a bowling ball. You know, 5'8", 200 pounds, rocked up. He's like a mini Tano Passanio. Which, by the way, second block kick in a row for him. Weeks in a row, that extra point, that field goal. Tano with that big body. But Darwin Thompson, you know, this was the game for him too. You know, for him to show something against this defense of the New England Patriots. LeSean McCoy led the way, 11 carries, 39 yards. Spencer Ware, 5 carries, 11 yards. This is a team the Chiefs didn't rush that well. 29 carries, 75 yards. That's not exactly electric, but the Patriots fifth in the NFL at stop of the run. Patriots themselves didn't have over 100 yards rushing either. 22 carries for 94 yards. And again, they've struggled in the run this year, only averaging 3.5 yards a carry, but were able to run for 145 yards against the Texans. Darwin Thompson, though, did show up as far as receiving, 4 catches, 36 yards. And again, I feel Andy Reid wants 3 things with running backs. Block first, catch the football, run the football, in that order. I think that's his order of importance. So once Darwin Thompson shows that pass pro that he can do, he gets more carries. He's catching the ball out of the backfield, which I think is important. But as far as the AFC, interesting things happened yesterday, including what happened with the Baltimore Ravens.
And that will do it. The final snap of the game, our final score. The Ravens beat the Bills 24-17. And they advance now to 11-2, holding on to the top spot in the AFC playoff picture.
Big win for the Ravens, going on the road to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills did control their own destiny.
Why did that sound like it was from 1922?
I have no idea, sir. That's just what FTP had, Fox. I mean, it's a call, man. A call's a call, you know. I'm okay with that, man. I don't criticize broadcast.
It just sounds like a really old radio call. Like it was from, like, World War II or something.
And that will do it. The final snap of the game, our final score. The Ravens beat the Bills 24-17. And they advance now to 11-2, holding on to the top spot in the AFC playoff picture.
That's their radio network as well. Drink an energy drink, bro. Have some coffee. I'm kind of with you on that. I don't criticize broadcasters, but again, 1920. But I'm good with that, man. Whatever. You know, just do you, man. Do you. Maybe a little more excitement in there. That was a big win for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, going off to the Buffalo Bills and winning like that, especially a team that had that basically was the team that controlled their own destiny. But you know they were going to find a way to Buffalo Bill this whole thing. Bottom line is the Chiefs moved into the third seed. With the Houston Texans losing to the Broncos actually doing the Chiefs a favor. Drew Locke, local kid, actually doing a favor. The Chiefs move into the third seed, which means at this point, they would play the Pittsburgh Steelers, who sit there as a sixth seed. Imagine that game at Arrowhead. Duck Hodges. Duck Hodges versus Patrick Mahomes. Baltimore Ravens, that first seed. And it brings to this, and this has been the debatable point. Rich Gannon was asked this question when he's on with the Drive. I think they asked Therese Paylor this question. The Drive was asked this question a lot last week. Rank the four teams in order. CDOT asked me this last night on the Harrison experiment. He's doing that on CBS Sports Radio. He's got his own night show on Sunday nights national. Props to CDOT on that. If I rank these things, it's Baltimore, Kansas City, New England, Houston. Houston does not deserve to be in the top three. There are three teams in the AFC that I think will be in the Super Bowl. If I gave you them or the field, who are you taking? Chiefs, Patriots, and the Baltimore Ravens. If I gave you those teams or the field, you would take those teams. Obviously, you know, it's half the playoffs. There's six teams in the playoffs in the AFC. I think it's a safe bet to say that one of those teams will be in Miami representing the AFC. Houston, I don't think, did themselves any favor. I mean, Houston was a team to beat the New England Patriots at home and then lay an egg against Drew Lock and the Denver Broncos. They did him a favor. Drew Lock actually looks pretty good, doesn't he, Serta?
He was fantastic yesterday.
He was.
Wish he a fantasy option now? Sutton a little bit more, but it's fine.
Does Drew Lock become a fantasy option?
No.
Man, I'll tell you this much. Quarterbacks making their first start at Arrowhead Stadium. A little bit rough for them. I am curious what the feeling's like. Again, he's going to feel that because he's playing in Kansas City. But the Broncos go on the road to Houston, score 38 points. You can't do that. It was a four-win team, gets the five-win with the Broncos winning down there. And you can't do that if you're the Houston Texans. You want us to take you seriously? J.J. Watt hurt and Jadeveon Clowney is, of course, in Seattle. That's a big loss to the Houston Texans. Just we think the Texans are ready to take that step. They go in the Arrowhead and punk the Chiefs. It's so schizophrenic what the Houston Texans are. And again, the Chiefs aren't like this. They've even lost by 7 points or more. Vic Fangio was talking about the jump that Drew Lock has made.
Made a great jump from week one to week two, which is what you're hoping for. Thought he threw the ball much, much better than he did last week. Thought last week he missed, you know, at least four or five throws that he could have made. I don't think he missed many today. So, and to do that on his first road start against a team that's going to be in the playoffs, probably win their division, makes it even better.
Big win for Drew Lock. They had the old Buzz Lightyear celebration, you know, punch in the wrist. Drew Lock feeling. Here's Drew Lock after the game.
For us to come in and play a defense that's flying around the field, hitting people, stopping the run, for us to go and do what we did, I think it speaks a lot for what this offense could be.
So the Houston Texans, there's no other way to look at them but being the fourth best team in the AFC. They present no threat to me. I would love the Chiefs to get another chance at the Houston Texans. But right now, as it sits, Patriots are the one seed. New England's the two seed at 10-3. There's the Chiefs, you know, right there knocking on the door. Chiefs are 9-4, need some help. Pittsburgh, the sixth seed. And then the fourth and fifth seeds, Buffalo, going to Houston. I would much rather play the Steelers than the Buffalo Bills. Because Josh Allen, I could see him running a lot as a from the quarterback position. Bills Mafia, yeah, they're fun to tailgate with, but I would rather play the Steelers. Any question for you, Serta? Wouldn't you rather play the Steelers than the Bills? Wasn't that monumental for the Chiefs to go from 4-3?
Yeah. I mean, well, the Bills don't scare me at all either. I just don't want the Titans to get into the playoffs. If you find yourself in a situation, yeah. You want the Bills or the Steelers are obviously their preferred first round playoff matchup. Titans are one of the hottest teams in football right now. Ryan Tannehill has just been absolutely
6-1 as a starter.
Outrageous. AJ Brown's an incredible player. Derrick Henry actually left yesterday's game with an injury and then came back and was still just dominating. So I don't want the Titans to get in. I don't want to see the Titans in the postseason, and I think that makes a lot of sense because they are they're playing really, really well right now, and they are particularly suited to give the Chiefs a lot of problems. Bills' defense is fantastic, but the Steelers' defense is fantastic. Neither one of those teams can score points, though, on any type of consistent basis. I know Steelers had a nice game yesterday, but that's against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are one of the worst defenses in the NFL against opposing quarterbacks. They made Devlin Hodges look like a reasonable starter.
Duck.
Yes, Duck Hodges.
Affleck needs to get
and
older.
Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is a very good athlete. I don't think that Josh Allen is a particularly good starting NFL quarterback. He is not good at throwing the football, as we saw yesterday, where multiple times he'd have guys streaking wide open down the field. All he does is just throw it as hard as he can and overthrow everybody by 15 yards.
You know, he's a guy, and you want to compare. Look at Alex Smith numbers compared to Tannehill, what he did his first couple years in Miami. But here's the one thing about the Titans, sir. This is schedule makers gone crazy. Tennessee's going to win this division, aren't they? They're going to push Houston out of the playoffs. Two of the next three games the Titans have against the Texans. They have the Texans at home next week. Then they play the Saints at home. That's a winnable game. Drew Brees is a different quarterback on the road than he is at home. You get the Saints at home. Then they play the Texans again. Very weird that they have the Texans 2 out of 3 weeks. That ultimately decides the AFC South. And right now, I think the Houston Texans are that team. Or not the Houston Texans, excuse me, the Tennessee Titans end up beating them. I mean, what a wild game for the 49ers. I think right now the Ravens and the 49ers, and for the 49ers to do what they did, you know, you look at what they did in that game, and it's unbelievable. But the AFC, it becomes clear. The other two best teams in the AFC, the Chiefs have both beaten. They've beaten the Ravens. 2 out of 3 losses for Lamar Jackson have come at the hands of Pat Mahomes. They know what to do. Drew Brees, his history, he's 68%, 0.5% throwing at home, 66.4 throwing on the road. 316 touchdowns at home, 221 on the road. He's got more interceptions on the road. He's just a different quarterback. And to me, Tennessee, that controls their own destiny. Could they get in a situation? Houston right now at 8-5. We'll say the Titans beat them twice. We'll say that happens to them. Tennessee, to me, is a scary team. Because you have to take them seriously because they know how to beat the Chiefs. You know, they've beaten them in the postseason. Derrick Henry, that might be a guy the Chiefs look at in free agency. He's going to be a free agent after the season. Can't beat him, join him. Is Tennessee better than Houston? Isn't that kind of weird they play 2 out of the next 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird. Weird scheduling.
It happens sometimes.
No, it does, but that's just weird. They will get their feel of them.
So, since Ryan Tannehill took over as their starter in Week 7, he's averaging a league-best 10.5 adjusted yards per attempt. He's the only quarterback with a better passer rating. Or the only quarterback with a better passer rating or record in that time is Lamar Jackson. Like, Ryan Tannehill is playing absolutely out of his mind. And the Titans running game is absolutely crushing everybody. Derrick Henry just rushes for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns every single game.
Tech's always asking, why do you fear the Titans? Almost like, what are you doing? Well, why are you scared? No one is scared of the Titans. But here's the thing, though. Tannehill's playing out of his mind. We saw what Tannehill did. You know, Tom Brady couldn't beat the Chiefs at the end of the game. Ryan Tannehill did. This team is playing out of their mind. And ever since that game, don't forget, Derrick Henry only had 100 yards one time before they played the Chiefs. And that was against the Falcons, at the Falcons, and it was 100 on the dot. Finished 27 carries, right at 100 yards. But since the Chiefs, we had 188 yards. The next week, 159. Week after that, 149. Against Oakland, 103. Did leave that game, comes back, but 103. You should fear the Tennessee Titans.
He's also got 7 touchdowns in this span.
He's a beast. And they have trouble stopping Derrick Henry. So, yes, the Chiefs have beaten the top 2 teams in the AFC, in my opinion, in the Ravens, home game, and beat the Patriots on the road. Baltimore's the number one seed. I don't know if I said the Patriots were or not. But clearly, Baltimore's got the number one seed now. I don't know if I made that mistake. Andy Reid, 1-8 against the Titans. Yes, I fear the Tennessee Titans. Not like real fear, you know. Not like the boogeyman or clowns. I hate clowns. I hate them. I'm afraid of clowns, all right? But not Different way. But the Titans, they know how to beat the Chiefs. Saw in the playoffs. We saw it in the regular season. Not only that, but Tannehill came down and got that. Might have been the confidence booster that Tannehill needed. And even Andy Reid acknowledges the fact that, hey, you know, the defenses look great. They took that step back against the Titans, which they did. But you got to give them respect. They won the damn game. Was it gifted? Yeah, I mean, there's things that happen in football, though. But who won the game? Who got the W? They did. To me, they're scary football. The Ravens are scarier than anybody because Lamar Jackson, you better set that edge. But the Chiefs have shown they know how to beat Lamar Jackson. That it is a different team. Again, you have to look at when you play a team and when you don't. The Ravens are definitely a different team. I didn't see this from the Ravens. Did you see this from the Ravens? I thought maybe the Cleveland Browns actually step up and win this thing. How stupid was that? That a team like the Browns could actually win it. But I was more scared of them than the Ravens in the beginning of the year.
But, well, I wasn't. Like, I think the Browns were, I expected them to be better than they are. They've been very, very poorly managed, and I think that has something to do with it. They've also had a ton of injuries. But the Ravens are just a really well-run organization, and you could see the talent there. I think that we underestimated Lamar's ability to just carry the offense and completely redefine how they run that, how they want to run offense and how they want to score points and things like that. But their defense is always good. And their defense struggled a little bit earlier in the year. But what they remind me of is that Philadelphia Eagles team from a couple of years ago that won a Super Bowl when the Chiefs played them like week two of the NFL season and the Chiefs wound up beating them. And then the Patriots or the Eagles went on to only lose like one game the rest of the season because that was a defining game for them where they adjusted some things and Carson Wentz was going to win MVP that year if he doesn't wind up tearing his ACL. And this Ravens team kind of reminds me of that the Chiefs got them early in the year. They hadn't figured out 100% who they were yet. And then they went out and they made game-changing moves at the trade deadline that were super cost-effective to them. And it made them even better, and that catapulted them onto another level. They've got a better offensive line than the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson's playing like he is the, without a doubt, MVP of the NFL after the performances we saw from Deshaun Watson and from Russell Wilson last night. Like, Lamar Jackson's all but locked this thing up that he is the MVP. And their secondary is the deepest secondary in the NFL now, and Marcus Peters is playing at a truly all-pro level.
Yeah, he is. He's got, what, 83% rating, Pro Football Focus. He jumped in the stands, attempted to chug a beer through a helmet, which is difficult. I'll give him that. But the Ravens are full of confidence. And not only that, they have a coach that's won it. You know, he's won the whole damn thing. You know, he found a way to win with Joe Flacco. I mean, that's pretty incredible, if you be honest with you. From the 404, I would love to play the Titans with the right to go to the Super Bowl. This is Reggie over the Pats and Ravens. Ain't nobody scared of the Titans. Y'all crazy. Reggie and Anaheim. Reggie, we know that weird things happen against the Titans. Weird things happen against this team. Whether it's suck up drilling a weird field goal, weird things happen. The Chiefs, what, 12 plays, and they played them in the playoffs in the second half, dominated the first half. Things flipped on an axis against the Titans in the second half. From the 913, Pat's D was great, too. Yes, the Patriots played good defense. When they played the Chargers, that was the NFL's fifth-best defense. This was the number one scoring defense in the NFL, the New England Patriots, playing at home. They give up 12 points a game. Yes, they're tough. Don't discount the Patriots. And I know their schedule's not tough. I get that. But again, they're playing NFL teams. Pass defense, second in the NFL. It was going to be tough. And I'm real curious what happens later, and we'll find out about 40 minutes or so when they update about Patrick Mahomes. Maybe Rick Burkholder talks. I'm sure Andy's going to be asked about the equipment showing up to the stadium late. It's kind of funny, though, to be honest with you, when that came out. Because everybody wanted to blame Belichick. And that was the funniest thing about it. I mean, I love the memes. Who's responsible for this? They found the equipment guy, and it's Belichick wearing a hood. Loved it. Because that's the thing. Weird things happen against the New England Patriots when that equipment didn't show up. So I'm with you on that. I can't believe the way you guys are slighting the Titans. I can't believe it. Except this one, 7-8-5. I would love a bruiser like Henry on the Chiefs. Yeah, Derrick Henry would be nice on the Chiefs, wouldn't he?
I'd rather they just go draft somebody.
Yeah, the running back's going to be plentiful. And we've seen it, you know, third, fourth, fifth round, it doesn't matter. I mean, the Packers did this back in 2017 when they drafted a couple running backs. Top two running backs on their team are guys they went to the draft. You know, the Chiefs get Darwin Thompson late. Who knows what's going to happen to him? I really like Darwin Thompson in St. Joe. I thought the guy showed flashes. The pass protection was the biggest knock, and it's ended up carrying through with Andy Reid. Again, we don't see these things in practice all the time. He made amends for that in the Bengals game by the deflating block, but certainly that's important. Again, blocking, pass catching, and then running. I think that's Andy Reid's value in running backs. Can you do those things in that order? But I think Darwin's getting there, though. I thought that was a real head-scratcher to him when Dylan McCullough threw him in the game. And he's like, whoa, what's he doing there? Then, oh, that's why he's in there. And he was doing good things. And to trust him in this game, even though he gave Ware the bulk of the carries, trust factor, Spencer Ware, Andy Reid's a big creature of habit. He's a big creature on loyalty. Who's done it for me before? Then that's why Spencer Ware got those carries. And then McCoy, which for some reason, Belichick, who's now faced LeSean McCoy 9 times, had that ultimate respect for LeSean McCoy. McCoy is such a Patriots-type guy. So is Tyrann Mathieu. Like, the Chiefs are starting to get guys that, like, I would think would be good Patriots. You know, those kind of guys. And their roster construction is top-notch because they're winning without spending. Patriots are never spending up to the cap. It's been schemes. And Belichick right now is finding Andy Reid in the regular season going toe-for-toe with him. And that's the most impressive thing about it. It's one thing for Reid to beat the Patriots at the beginning of the year when he's got all offseason to think about it, but so different week to week in what they're doing. And he had 1 week to prepare for Bill Belichick. Again, it was Andy Reid calling the offense, Belichick calling the defense. And then you have Spagnuolo coaching his ass off on defense. I mean, it's truly unbelievable what Steve Spagnuolo has been able to do with this defense. Flipping schemes, bringing in 8 new faces, new coaching staff. I mean, gutting it out and starting over. That's essentially what the Chiefs did this year. They started over on defense. And it's taken them a while. Now, I can't go out here and say this defense is one of, you know, I'm not going to give them credit even for that Broncos game where they looked fantastic because I felt the offense was good enough to win that game. The Broncos quit in that game. But they deserve 100% of the credit in the Chargers game. They deserve credit for what happened in this game. And they were dynamic against the pass, except for the run, against the Raiders. First half, different story. Second half, the Chiefs are much better against the run because the Raiders kind of, you know, gave up on a little bit. That's what happens when the offense puts up points. Special teams got you points in that game. Defense got you points. That was a collective team effort that the Chiefs had against the Raiders. From the 8-1-6. Bink, I believe we would have won even if they had AB. I don't know, man. The Patriots are missing a guy like Antonio Brown. Like, that's what they're truly missing. And when they had him, I guarantee you, feet were on the desk, smoking a cigar. They had Antonio Brown. It was going to force everybody to play chess against the Patriots. I don't think anything made them happier when they had Antonio Brown because they tried to trade for him in the offseason. Pittsburgh wasn't going to do business with him. They're going to try to make them better. Mike Tomlin's not going to help him. His headset never works when he goes to New England. He's not going to give them any favors. By the way, Pittsburgh Steelers win again, too. They're the sixth seed. Mike Tomlin, I think, is doing his best coaching job in Pittsburgh, considering what he's working with. Without Antonio Brown, without Le'Veon Bell, 3 quarterbacks he's used this year. So I honestly think, am I wrong in that? Tomlin's best year coaching? And he's had some great years, but he didn't have a quarterback.
No, yes, I think this is one of his best coaching jobs for sure, but he's just an incredible head coach. And a lot of people were taking credit away from him for a long time because of underperforming teams, but we know now he was dealing with a lot in that locker room.
No question about it. From the 816, Bink, when will Mahomes get protected from the refs like Brady does? It's coming eventually. He's definitely not there yet. You saw yesterday, he's not there yet. He is not there yet. And, he hit against the ice chest. Winovich put his body against him, which by definition, that's a foul. Billy Bob Moss, former Chief, former Packer, former all-around good guy, Bill Moss, joins us next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Steven Serta, joining us now, former Chief, Billy Bob Moss. Bill, this defense keeps showing up, man. Starting to trend that right direction.
Yeah, no question. I mean, a lot of things could have gone bad yesterday, and they found a way to just keep coming after him. When I say coming after him, they were coming after him. I mean, how many times did they blitz? That was crazy.
41.5%, Bill. That's the percentage. The previous pressure rate on Brady was 30.8%. The Chiefs pressured him 41.5%. Unreal. That is big difference to how teams have been playing him.
So I'm seeing a trend here with Spags. When he has statue quarterbacks when he plays them, or the guys that are going to stand in the pocket right there and not run, that's what he's been doing. I mean, they get real aggressive and they blitz, whether it's a rundown. They're just bringing people. They bring some kind of pressure on almost every down. And it boded well for them. They played aggressive. And those guys, you can tell they get excited when they play that kind of defense. They feed off of it.
No, they definitely do. And have you noticed the difference in physicality, Bill? There's been times this season when I look at the end of the game and I was like, man, they just weren't as physical. I see the Chiefs dictating the action of that offensive line. I haven't seen this stuff in a while, but I've seen this the last couple of weeks, and even there was sporadically throughout the year. But I'm telling you what, the physicality with the Chiefs, and I'm talking about finishing hits and the way they're hitting and making teams just kind of notice, the Chiefs brought their lunch pail, man, and they've been doing that lately.
Yeah, and that's what I said, they kind of feed off of that.
Yeah.
You know? When they get that blitz mentality going, that pressure mentality, you're playing like you're running downhill. And that's how they played, and you could see it. You saw it the way they finished the hits, they finished the tackles, the delivery, everything that they did was like they were running downhill. And that's when it's fun. That's when it's really fun to play defense.
You know, Bill, I'm having fun watching this defense now, and I don't remember the last time where I was actually excited about the defense coming on the field. What are they going to do next? You know, are they going to keep, you know, screwing with Brady on third down? What are they going to do? I was really enjoying watching what Spags was doing. And like everybody else in this town, I love when Mahomes goes out there and throws touchdown passes and all this. But, Bill, for the first time in a long time, I was really excited when the defense would go back on the field. And I haven't always been that way.
Yeah, well, we've seen the bad part of it, too. And these guys, to their credit now, I mean, I think we've talked about this defense since training camp. You know, they just keep working. They just keep, you know, they know they got some limitations, but they just keep working. And you see it in the young guys getting better. And I think that's what the exciting thing is when you're watching it. Tanya Passano, I mean, he's come light years from what he was at training camp just because of the reps. Nadi, you know, Chris Jones is just every down. It seems like he gets better. It's impressive. When you see a man, a big man like that, I noticed a couple times, if I pushed the pocket, I was low, you know, and I had to get down low and I had to push and get some leverage. And this man pushes the pocket with two human beings, massive human beings, offensive linemen, and it's like he's skating straight up in the air. And he just runs them right back to the quarterback. I mean, it's amazing. I was shaking my head yesterday watching him. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. And when you watch Juan Thornhill, the way he's coming, even Breland. You know, Breland bit on that first touchdown pass. He bit so hard on that fake. And look at the way he battled back through the course of the game and made a big difference in the outcome of the game.
You know what? Breland had one of the best tackles in the game, you know, as well. He got that interception. And to me, he made the play of the year. Was that the play of the year? You know, Edelman, Brady, into the game, showing up, winning a game for your team. Has there been any better play than that one? Because I've been calling that the best play I've seen this year.
It was the cleanest defensive back play I've seen. You know, there was no physical contact anywhere. Just his hand batting the ball away at the last second. It was beautiful.
Yeah, no, you know, here's Brady, you know, coming down the end of the game. And they, I mean, that's huge, man. Huge going forward. And I know we can sit here and say the offense didn't light up the score, but this defense of the Patriots really good. And that was Belichick out there trying to do his best to mastery on the Kansas City Chiefs. They'd won 21 straight games at home. I think for the psyche of the Chiefs, when you go on the road and beat a team like that, and Chris Jones talking, you know, we gave up 16 points on the road. We need, that's the stuff I like to hear. And Chris Jones has kind of changed his attitude too, Bill. I mean, he's always been happy-go-lucky guy, but this guy has been one of the most focused guys when he talks.
Yeah, well, you know, it's business now. You know, it's about business. And, you know, he was all fun and games early on in his career. Now he knows the business side of it. He knows what he has to do, and he's approaching it like a professional. And, you know, you go through that change when you go through a contract negotiation. And, you know, let's take this game for what it is. You know, let's not get over the top on this. You're lucky to get out of there with a W. Let's take that W and go home, because down the road, no one's going to care. It's just a W. But, you know, I think there's some things there that the Chiefs need to work on and concentrate on, for sure, given the fact that that game in the fourth quarter was still that close and came down to the last play. I mean, it seemed to me like the Chiefs outplayed them from top to bottom, and yet, you know, there was still a chance that it could have been a tie game going into overtime. There's a lot of things I think that they can build on, but just take that W and get out of there, especially with the equipment fiasco.
The nail in the coffin mentality, I like that. How about that equipment thing, Bill? Did you blame Belichick initially on that?
I thought it for sure there was something to do. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not the Phantom of Foxborough again. Something always goes wrong up there. But, yeah, what a debacle that could have been, 2 hours away from a forfeit. Can you imagine the Chiefs came home with a forfeit?
I can't imagine that, Bill. Would CBS have allowed that, though? I mean, they had Brady versus Mahomes. I haven't even seen the numbers yet, Bill. But being a close game, Mahomes' games always draws, and so does Brady. And any time the Patriots close to winning a game at the end, that had to have just been gold for them. There's no way in hell they would have let that forfeit. They gave them the police escort. They did everything else. There was no way they were going to let that game be forfeited.
Yeah, I agree with you. They probably would have ran down there themselves and got the equipment.
They played a high school game there Friday. They said that was part of the confusion. I mean, I'm shocked this doesn't happen more. I'm surprised guys aren't leaving things. And I've always heard of major league teams, you know, guys forget their passports and stuff when they're trying to go to Canada and can't go there. It's just a lot of confusion that goes on. But, Bill, with Nottie down on the defensive line, he made some good plays against the run. The defensive line pushing guys, the guys setting the edge. You mentioned Tano Passanio, two block kicks now in the past 2 weeks. This defensive line, the secondary is still the best, but this defensive line exponentially better than they were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that too. There was kind of this was Spags' MO with that defense that we won the Super Bowl with the Giants. You know, they weren't very good at all throughout midway through the season, and then they just kept on working at it and kept on working at it. And by the time the playoffs came around, they became dominant in what they did in the Super Bowl. You know, made history. So you just hope for the same, that these guys just keep on working, take this as a W, get back to work. You know, don't crown anybody yet, champions yet. There's still a lot of ball left to play.
Bill, this text line's driving me nuts today. And sometimes I have a love-hate relationship with the texter. And I said that we should fear the Titans. You know, be very cautious of that team. They think I'm crazy. I'm like, look at Tannehill. 6-1 as a starter. Derrick Henry has continued what he did against the Chiefs, against everybody else. He's steamrolling them. Like, the Chiefs have beaten the Ravens. They've beaten the Patriots. The Titans are a team that I think we have to look back and sit there and think, okay, this team knows how to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things they got. And one biggest thing is they're under the radar. Nobody's really talking about them. They're just going about their business, and that's a good place to be. Two, should actually be number one, is they can run the ball, man. Derrick Henry's a monster, right?
Oh, yeah.
He can pound it. And they play good defense. So when you've got a running game and good defense, you can take that anywhere. And you know, we've seen that. Remember Marty Ball. You run the ball, play good defense, and you get play action pass with Tannehill, and it's working for him. So, yeah, right now they're a team that I think that isn't getting enough credit, but keeps on going about their business and winning games.
I mean, you think about the top four in the AFC. It's regarded as the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Patriots, was the Texans. But again, Bill, you know, the Texans lose at home. After beating the Patriots, Drew Lock, you know, local kid that you saw, you know, in high school and followed his career and everything else, great game for him. But again, it's a different story when that rookie quarterback comes to Arrowhead. I just think there's going to be so much pressure going forward on Drew Lock, considering he's from here, going to be a ton of people there watching him, and he's got to play the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. That's really interesting subplot on this next game.
Yeah, and teams haven't seen enough of him yet to really kind of get a bead on what he is. So that bodes well for a young quarterback. And I think that they're using him right. I think they saved him for December for a reason. Get his feet wet here. But, yeah, it's a big deal coming into Arrowhead, especially when you grew up down the street. But he's a kid who's got his head on his shoulders, and he can throw a good ball. So it'll be interesting to see how this shapes up.
Billy Bob Moss, always good talking to you, Bill.
Have a good one, Jake. See you, man.
There you go, Bill Moss, right there. And if you want to hear more Bill Moss stories, go to the 435 Podcast Network. I sat down with him over some barbecue, and he let it fly. The guy was once married to Dan Marino's sister, Dan Marino's brother-in-law. He played with Brett Favre, had some great stories. Bill's always got stories, trust me. The time Jack Del Rio tried to take down Otis Taylor during the strike. Yeah, good stuff from Billy Bob Moss. But this defense, sir, I mean, when you look at the Chiefs, you're giving this new respect to this defense. You're giving them new respect for what they've done. Isn't this what we've been asking for, though? I mean, isn't this the one thing we wanted the offseason? Isn't this the one thing we wanted when Spags was hired, to see the production you're seeing now? This is what we've been waiting for. I mean, I love good defense, but I've been waiting for this moment. Waiting to see what they would do.
For this specific moment? Like just in this game?
No, not the grand scheme of things, Serta. The fact that defense is winning games. I wanted to see this. Again, man, I'm not going to go through it, but you know, I tried out Mahomes' high school stats in college. He never had a defense. Like, I've always wanted a Mahomes defense for Christmas, right? Never got it last year, you know. That's what I wanted. It's the only thing I wanted, Mahomes to have a defense. And I finally got it, you know.
Well.
Finally got that toy I've been looking for.
Yeah, I mean, they pieced this defense together specifically to try to go on a run this year. The defense is much better, but I still have questions about the offense. So I'm not trying to discredit what the defense has accomplished. I think Bashaud Breeland maybe is the most important signing they made this offseason.
No question.
He's been fantastic. Like, he has been much. I remember back to his days in Washington that he was a solid player who could get beat sometimes, struggled a little bit, and he was also up and down with the Packers last season. He's been fantastic this season. Yeah, he had a couple moments early in the game where I had a penalty and just looked bad, looked like they were kind of keying in on him, trying to test him a little bit. But he kept it together, and he wound up having a very nice game where he made multiple impactful plays. He has been, for what they spent on him, he has been the biggest signing of the offseason, in my opinion.
Should Veach be considered looked at in a different light now?
No.
And I know, really? Because I know when you look at the two, well, just think about things, though. You just said Breeland right there. Who signed him?
Yeah, but they also brought him in last season and then just didn't sign him.
Well, I get
whatever.
But do you think that with the Honey Badger, with Frank Clark, the way Thornhill's been playing, you know, I think we haven't seen the best of Darwin Thompson yet.
Yeah, but
I mean, I think Veach has had some good weeks here, man.
General managers, in my opinion, don't get credit for going out and getting other guys that are proven in the NFL. Your job is to draft players.
No, you have to find the right chemistry, man.
Impactful players out of the draft. Now, it appears that he did that with a couple of guys this season, so he gets a little bit more credit. His first draft as general manager is still a disaster.
No, it's not good, and guys that didn't produce to that level, but this has been good for Veach. You mentioned it right there with Breeland. I give the GM credit for finding the right pieces. You don't think that Charvarius Ward trade for Parker Anger was good? Come on,
sure,
Serta.
That worked out, but that
wasn't... No, you got to give him credit for that.
That worked out, but that was not made as a, this guy's going to be a highly impactful player on our defense moving forward.
You get Parker Anger for him.
But it wasn't made with that thought. It was just a depth move. Yes, it worked out. Thankfully, it's a player that you liked. He was never made to be... That trade was never made for Brett Veach. Like, he's going to be our starting cornerback for the next 3 or 4 years.
Do you think Emmanuel Ogba's hurt, but Emmanuel Ogba was extremely productive when he was here.
Yes, and Ogba showed promise in Cleveland. Like
Eric Murray for Ogba.
They decided they wanted to go get a certain type of player. That's why they kept Passanio too, who's having a nice season. Like, yes, they built the defense. They did a good job building the defense, But a lot of that, I think, comes from the coaching, too. And I think that Spags and that coaching staff, they spent a lot of money to bring in those guys and to go out and hire the assistants that they wanted on that side of the ball. Those guys get a lot of credit for that. I don't give Veach credit for coaching them up, for putting them in better positions to win.
That's what a GM is supposed to do. You got to make these signings. Now, Andy Reid does a lot of this stuff, but I don't think he does all this stuff. Like, he trusts Veach to make some of these moves. Andy Reid, give him credit from Holmes. I know Veach, Dorsey, you know, we go back and forth. It was Reid. Reid was Mahomes. Although Veach was blowing up Lee Steinberg's phone that night. Veach has won the deal, but it took John Dorsey to make the deal. So, in a way, all of them get credit for it. But Serta is not given credit here. Where credit's due, the text line blowing you up here, Serta. Not given credit. Signings are a part of a GM. Making Eric Murray trades for Ogbah, part of a GM. Parker Ender.
Yes.
For Charvarius
Ward. That's part of his job,
part
is
of a GM.
To find value,
yes,
in that.
And he did well.
He's not getting credit for what the defensive coaching staff has done.
Mike Pennell.
The pieces don't fit together if they aren't coached up and schemed up properly. He does not get credit for that. Go draft somebody. Go make that team. Go make the defense really, really good through the draft. Juan Thornhill, sure, looks like a nice player. Juan Thornhill's not, it's not like Juan Thornhill's playing at a Derwin James level as a rookie. Let's slow down a little
bit.
You don't
think Hardman is shown value? Because I think he's the missing.
Obviously. But he played less than Darwin Thompson did last night.
But he was effective. McCall Hardman is a weapon.
Yes, he's been doing that all season. That, again, is Andy scheming up ways to get him involved in the game. Giving him opportunities, saying, we just need one from you, Hardman. Just one.
Colin Chandler's has shown promise.
One play a game. That's all we need from you. And I'm giving him credit
this
for those
draft picks. This whole
draft,
these guys are still on the team.
I'm giving
That's
him,
unbelievable.
I'm giving him credit for those draft picks. His first draft was a disaster.
Well, he had Naughty in that draft. You know, give him some credit for
He's
that
He's the
one.
Only impactful player that came out of that
Well,
Dorian
O'Daniel's good on special teams. Armani Watts actually leads any player he's drafted in sacks, believe it or not, from the safety position. Khalil McKenzie, I'm with you on that one. Tre'Von Smith, come on. But this year, look, Hardman's on his team. Thornhill's productive. Colin Saunders has shown flashes. Rashad Fenton was good until he got hurt. Darwin Thompson, we haven't seen the best of him. And Nick Allegretti, you know, he's mostly inactive, but he's been active a few times. Swing player that can do it. But that's pretty impressive when you have even your seventh-round picks on the team. It means you're doing well. This has been a good year for Veach. This has been a good year for Brett Veach. Now the tide's turned a little bit because I felt the tide was on him. And again, think about the pressure he's had on. This front office was once loaded, man. With Dorsey, Ballard, and Veach, you kidding me? If anything has been rated, I know Doug Peterson left the staff and goes on and wins a Super Bowl. Then Matt Nagy, he looks like he's doing some good things in Chicago, especially lately. And then you have Bieniemy, which will end up leaving. But now the Chiefs actually have brought in coaches. The Chiefs are not going to be able to keep this defensive staff. They're just not going to be. I think Spags will still end up here. Brendan Daly, I could see, as a defensive coordinator in this league somewhere. Matt House definitely is going to be a defensive coordinator. This just position coach, a linebacker, it's not going to last very long for him. But I think Veach has done a good job, you know. New age GM. It is time for you to give him credit. It is time for people to give Brett Veach credit. Stop being a hater, man. It's a good draft. Good trades. What do you got to do? You got to bring in the free agents, undrafted free agents. You got to bring those in, see if they're going to be impactful for this team. That's one of the jobs. This is what Dorsey was really good at, the diamonds in the rough. And most of them came off the scrap heap of John Schneider and the Seattle Seahawks. You go back to the moves he made, like Jay Howard and Ron Parker was effective for this team, you know, for a time. Marcus Cooper, you know, second to last guy drafted the draft, did end up being rookie of the year. The Mackley Hill for the Chiefs on defense. But you got to do that. You got to draft. Draft's most important. That's A, number one. It's why Mike Mayock did so well for the Raiders. That draft class is ridiculous this year. It's why I think the Raiders are going to be a thorn in the side in the AFC West. Unless Drew Locke's got some magic in Denver, unless we've overlooked what this guy can do. But again, like Bill said, you know, see what happens when the league adjusts to him. I still don't think Fangio's the right guy for Drew Locke. I think you put him with the quarterback guru and look out, man. Like, they made a mistake in that. Their defense is going to be good regardless. Go get a good defensive coordinator. And get a quarterback guru for Drew Lock. That's the most important thing. I think they missed on that. I didn't like some of the comments Fangio made in the offseason about him. Didn't like some of the things he said after that Packers game. He's not a quarterback guy, man. He's defense. But I think the Raiders are that team poised, unless I'm making a mistake and sleeping on what the Broncos can do. I don't know. If the Chiefs go out and pound the Broncos again this weekend like they have 8 straight times, I mean, they dominated Denver. And now they get them in their own crib. It's going to be much different. But this is all you want your GM to do. Make the right moves. Make the right decisions. You know, it's going to be interesting seeing Veach now in his mentality because he was on the ground. He was out scouting these guys. He's got a lot of other responsibilities. Like Breland Speaks was a guy that I think he thought a lot of promise of, which, by the way, he's been suspended now. How about being suspended when you're hurt? It's perfect for him. He's missing those game checks. That sucks for him. But how's he going to be? Because he's always been the aggressive kind. He's always been the guy going to Andy Reid saying, watch this, watch this, watch this. He's been aggressive. Is he going to be that way with the scouts? That's interesting, though. Like, how's he going to be in the front office? Because you've got to have the front office. Just like the cap guy becomes the most important guy for an NFL team. This is why I thought the cap guy in Denver deserved a lot of credit when they figured out how to bring in Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware, you know, T.J. Ward. Whenever they made all those moves on defense, ultimately get them a Super Bowl ring. How they do it, the cap guy is important, but also the GM, the lifeblood of the program, bringing in new talent consistently. You know, the pipeline, bringing in new players for a team is huge. But it turns out this has been a pretty good year for Brett Veach. It really has. There's no other way to look at it than some of the moves he made. The trades that he makes, getting got to check all the boxes, GM. Undrafted free agents, the trades, and the draft. So far, so good. I don't know how instrumental he was in putting this defensive staff together because, again, this defensive staff, a lot of history with Steve Spagnuolo. Spags deserves a lot of credit. That guy deserves a lot of credit for what he did. Again, the bar was set low to make this defense better, but what do we ask for? We ask for a defense in the top half of points against. Scoring defense, be in the top half, and that's what you got. Chiefs are 14th right now in points against. Again, Spags was hired for this game against the Patriots, and he got the job done. You know, Brendan Daly comes here. You know, what's Belichick doing? And we've seen Bill Belichick assistants go to other places and not have success. But the Chiefs did. You know, we should be happy today that despite there might be some issues that we're nitpicking, that they've won all three. Even though we're nitpicking, they've still won all three games lately. The Chargers, the Raiders, then beating the Patriots in New England. 21 straight games they'd won. It's unbelievable. And you're going against the best. And despite Tom Brady being 42 years old, whatever, he's still a winner, man. He just is. People have poured dirt on this guy for 5 years, and he just keeps winning. You know, his team pounded by the Detroit Lions 26-10 last year in week 3. And again, the Chiefs won, but they're not getting blown out like other teams. They don't have that Texans-type collapse. When a team comes in here and rolls you, that's concerning. If I'm a Houston Texans fan, I'm a lot more concerned than what happened against the Kansas City Chiefs in any game, regardless of the situation. I'm more concerned as a Texans fan today than I've ever been as a Kansas City Chiefs, because that is inexcusable. That is undeniable what happened to them. That is something that should never have happened. The Denver Broncos going to their house and scoring 38 points a week after you beat the New England Patriots. People start talking about you as one of the four best teams in the AFC. You can't do that. You can't have those type of games. Bill O'Brien is not the answer. Not only that, I've heard they're not even going GM. They're going to trust Bill O'Brien to keep the same thing going. Go ahead. Waste away Deshaun Watson. Waste it away. Waste away that quarterback. That's fine. Being an AFC fan with the Kansas City Chiefs, go ahead. Don't want to count the Texans. You know, I still can't put a lot of stock in the Titans because I think Tannehill will come down to reality. Right now, he's 6-1 as a starter. Mojo. We've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, pull this crap as well. His luck's running out right now. Even though, I mean, Dolphins just lost to the Jets. But Fitzpatrick, you know, what, 245 yards. But Fitzpatrick has done this in his career. It's why he's still playing. Anyway, AFC is definitely interesting. Missouri, new coach for them, a new direction going forward. We'll mention Eli Drinkwitz a little bit in this segment looking forward. Plus, the Kansas City Chiefs, the impact of the Patriots game, now flipping the national narrative like I thought it would.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.